KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. One person has died this afternoon after a helicopter crashed into New York's East River. Rescuers were able to save four other people, including the pilot. A blinding dust storm has caused at least 30 vehicles to crash on I-10 near Tucson. Officials say at least one person was killed, at least 15 were injured. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will not be tossing his hat into the ring for the GOP presidential nomination. Christie says he's not finished with the position he currently holds.
I have a commitment to New Jersey that I simply will not abandon.
Amanda Knox is in the air on the way home to Seattle after her murder conviction in Italy was overturned. NBC's Stephanie Gosk says Knox has major issues ahead of her.
She's coming back here with a whole set of new challenges as she starts to figure out how to put her life back together.
Wall Street had a roller coaster day ending on an up note. The Dow closed higher by 153 points. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
This is Troy Aikman
and Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
Buying a new living room set shouldn't be stressful.
It should be relaxing.
Well, at Rent-A-Center it is, because you never have to worry about going into deep credit card debt.
Because you don't need a credit card, and there are no long-term commitments. If you ever want to, you can bring it back and stop paying.
So you're always at ease.
Could you please pass me my Snuggie?
Right now at Rent-A-Center, rent-to-own seven-piece Ashley living room sets at a special low price and all worry-free. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
To show how easy it is to prepare for cold and flu season at Walmart, I stocked up. For just $1.97, I bought a box of new Kleenex Cool Touch tissues to soothe my sore nose. I've got some Abreva cold sore treatment. I'm taking a Halls Advanced Vapor Action Cherry cough drop. I just washed my hands with Lysol Healthy Touch antibacterial soap, and I'm wearing Breathe Right Advanced Nasal Strips on my nose for later. In fact, I'm so prepared, I'm going to be really disappointed if I don't get sick. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses direct to keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mary Kay. For tonight, scattered showers and gusty onshore winds with light snowfall expected above 8,000 feet. Tonight, you can expect a low around 54 degrees. For Wednesday, all day, you can expect showers with a high near 63 and a low around 50. For Thursday, there's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 65 and a low around 48. That's your weather forecast for this hour. From the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
Good afternoon, it's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Visit Jersey Mike's tomorrow, October 5th, for Mike's Way to the Cure Day. And help fight breast cancer. Jersey Mike's will donate 25% of sales to Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Find locations at jerseymikes.com. A little bit of an issue out there in Rialto on the 10 westbound before Riverside. A crash with a big rig is blocking the left lane on both sides of the freeway. Westbound traffic slow from the 215. That's affecting the eastbound side as well. Traffic backed up to Citrus. Currently, it's 68 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next. I'm Brett Malik on the station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Experience Native American culture up close. Arts and crafts, traditional foods, competitive dancing. The San Manuel Band of Mission Indians annual powwow. Free entertainment for the whole family October 7th, 8th, and 9th at Cal State San Bernardino. Begins 5 p.m. on Friday and 11 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Don't miss the grand entry with hundreds of dancers in full regalia. The San Manuel Powwow. Visit sanmanuel-nsn.gov for details.
How come you're not driving your new car?
I can't get auto insurance, and it's all too expensive, and I don't want a company I've never heard of. You know, here today, gone tomorrow, with my money.
Well, call Survival Insurance at 1-800-511-8629. They've been around for 30 years and guarantee the best rates and service no matter what your budget. They can help.
Now them, I've heard of. What's their number?
For any car or any driver, call 1-800-511-8629. That's 1-800-511-8629.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
Go ahead and say it. We're all ears. AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about hiring employees today. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com website. Okay, today we're going to talk about hiring employees. If you think it was fun when you started a business, just wait until you hire employees, because that's where the real fun begins. If you do it right, it can, like your whole business, be a very uplifting experience. If you do it wrong, it may be the biggest mistake you ever made. But ultimately, as with everything in a small, when you start a business, okay, it's doing it right. And when you do it wrong, you can correct your mistakes. But obviously, as they say, if you don't have time to do it the first time, when will you find time to do it right the second time? But inevitably, we do find that time, if we have to. Anyway, last week when I was talking with Jerem Renfelt of JR Tech, we were talking about, at the end, the concept of bringing your business to the next level. Now, in that particular conversation, we were talking about the concept of moving into an office and recognizing that largely before you can hire employees, you have to have office space, because when the alternative, or when your existing business location is your own home, that's when your business starts getting very intrusive into your own family, where your personal space is the same business space. And when you're dealing with employees, aside from your own loss of privacy, it can also create some issues of comfort between yourself and the employees. Okay, but in that sense, okay, when we talk about moving to the next level, okay, the concept is that you have found a formula for your own success. Okay, but to get to the next level, okay, what would that next level be, Gary?
It's when you are at that point where you can get your employees, you want to try and repeat what you've already done, but with employees, and make it on a larger scale.
That's right. That you've found your success, and now you need to duplicate that success. So by hiring people, now there's two elements of this. One is, especially when you're a one-man show or a one-woman show, okay, there is only one of you doing the work. So the limitation of your business comes down to what one person can do. Okay? But when you add that next person, the biggest problem, I guess, at the in the mind is, if you have two people, doesn't that mean you must have twice as much work to do?
No, I think of it as, like, you have somebody to do the easier work that you have to do, and you have more time to do the work that only you can do, the more complicated work or the more administrative work, the stuff that they can do, but they can do the kind of the basic or the normal routine work.
Right. So ultimately, you're talking about kind of breaking it into a tier one and a tier two
breakdown of
the work. Okay. Well, the other thing that also gets overlooked is that now if you are a two-man show, someone has to direct the show. Okay. Now, do you go through life hiring somebody to direct you?
No, not in the sense that we're talking about.
Okay. So in this particular sense, chances are now part of your time is going to have to be dedicated to overseeing what this new employee is going to do. Okay? So that's going to take away a lot of the productive time. Not all of, but a portion of your productive time where you were working for customers and so to speak, earning the money for the company. Now, some of that time has to be dedicated to overseeing what the newer employees are doing as they learn the ropes. In fact, a portion of this time probably will have to be spent showing them how to do the work. Okay, now, a lot of people that I've heard talk about having a business, a lot of them have chosen to stay a single one-man or one-woman show. And what comes down to the problem that having employees is just too much trouble. Okay? Now, in that particular sense, as I was alluding to when I opened the show today, that the fun begins or the problems begin. Getting into employment and getting into employees is a whole nother game. But it's a necessary evil if you want to get to the next level. Okay? As with starting a business, this was not going to be easy. We never said it was going to be easy. But you dealt with all the things that you were uncomfortable with. The getting the business licenses, the marketing that you've never done before, the lining up vendors, the lining up suppliers, the finding customers, the networking. These are all new things that a lot of us have never done before we started a business. So why can't we get into the business of hiring employees? Okay. Now, Gary, you're a little bit younger, but at the same time, you have employment experience, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever managed other employees?
Not in the real world. When I was in college, we had in my upper division management class, we had to lead the others in the class in a specific thing, and we were trying to all compete against one another and just get along with the just do the things that we've learned throughout our years of training in college
right.
And everything.
All right, now, was the competition between your work group or between your work group and other work
between
groups?
Between our work group and other work groups.
Okay, so ultimately, in working within your own group, what did the management consist of?
Just basically looking over everything else, making sure everything gets done, making sure the right people are doing the right things, and making sure everyone's working in the same thing. There's not a bunch of individuals doing individual things to get the group.
Okay. And collectively, did everybody in the group know what the goals of the group were?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. And the way the labor was divided, did everybody decide what they were going to do, or did somebody who took the managerial role assign the duties to everybody?
Well, in that role, I was the manager, so I assigned the roles. And the way I did it was kind of, since they were my peers, they weren't really people I had hired. It wasn't exactly the same, since I knew a little bit more about everybody, and we'd all done stuff together already, so we knew what we specialized at for
sure.
The particular project.
Sure. Okay. And in your capacity as a baseball coach, has that been any different?
For a little bit, because while I'm coaching right now, I see these people for the first time, so I really don't know anything, so I have to get a better understanding of what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are, what they need to work at.
Kind of like a new employee.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, have your goals for the team changed because of who is there, or are the goals for the team the same?
The goals are the same. There's just, in some cases, there's more or less work to do and for these particular players or
okay.
what they need to work on and everything.
Okay. But as you have new players on the team, what does that mean for the coach?
That you need to just find a way to make it all come together and work out.
And you have to spend a little bit more time managing or communicating, explaining to the players what is expected of them.
Yeah.
Okay? Doesn't this sound a little bit like running a business?
Yeah, that's very similar.
Okay. And that's the whole thing for the listeners that I want to get across. Okay? When you're dealing with people in any situation, there will be challenges because we're all different, we're all unique, and we all have a different approach to to life. But ultimately, it comes down to the same thing. As a business, if we're going to accomplish more, we need to accomplish it through other people. Okay? So, for all the issues that go with having people, it's worth it to get past there, generally, as long as you can see where you're going. Okay? But the reason that people tend not to do this is because of the basic non-specific reasons. It's too complicated. Okay? I'm not really that big yet. I don't need to hire people. Or I can just pay somebody on the side. Okay? I don't have time to get into training. I don't want to deal with their attitudes. I don't want... the work is too difficult. I can't explain it to people. And then it's the need of the employees. They don't come in on time. There's all the different things that can be reasons not to do with it, not to deal with it. But ultimately, if you choose to deal with it, then you are ready to go to the next level. Okay? Don't go sacrificing the rewards of tomorrow because of imaginary obstacles. Okay? You can get there. And none of these things are things that you haven't dealt with before. And chances are they're easy enough to deal with. Now, one of the beautiful things about employment, though, is if you have difficult employees, okay, you always have the option to find new employees. Okay? Now, granted, we have all kinds of things in the world that kind of make us afraid to do this and to do that, like fire people and things along those lines. But if you have a good reason to fire somebody, then sometimes that's what you have to do. Okay, every employee that I've ever hired, the day that I hired them, I hoped that I would never have to let them go, because there's a lot of time and training that goes into these people. Okay, so you want it to work, because there's a very heavy investment involved here. Okay, and if you're going to get to the next level, you have to do it through other people, and it relies on your ingenuity. The same ingenuity that got you into this mess in the first place. And most of us, when we're at that point that it looks like we're going to need to hire somebody, okay, it's been pretty good, and we want to go further. And if you want to go further, you got to hire some employees. Okay, from time to time, I've mentioned a video that it's offered on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. The video is called Taking Your Business Seriously, and it's generally a primer for budding entrepreneurs. But anyone in the earlier stages of a new business can avoid a lot of the mistakes that entrepreneurs make in their best venture, or first business venture. Okay? It covers everything from the elements of business formation, how to choose a consultant, business planning, entity selection, payroll issues, employee relations, getting legal advice, the benefits of an accounting system, and the Capolino Rule of Six. Again, this video is available on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Also, if you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay? And anyway, if you send us some emails when we're not on the air, we will bring them to our next show.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin.
What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
Ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screens.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Today is Saturday. Ha.
Salad on Saturday, fruit on Friday, volleyball Thursday,
water bottle Wednesday, touch your toes Tuesday, let's move Monday, sparkles next Sunday.
All the healthy children eat well and move a lot, and move a lot, and move a lot, eat well and move a lot.
60 minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, freeze tag Friday, tap dance Thursday,
home games Wednesday, try to raise you Tuesday, let's move Monday, split the sweet Sunday.
Eat well and move a lot.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Robert Cardoza Live, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Robert Cardoza Live, talking politics, money, and you. Weekdays at 5 p.m., Robert Cardoza Live, bringing together politics, money, and you. Here on KCAA 1050 AM.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about having employees, and now we're going to talk about hiring employees. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Okay, in the last section, we were talking about having employees and mostly talking about the difficulties of it and, so to speak, rationalizing that it's really not that hard. But I just want to reflect back on any of you who started a business knowing that it wasn't going to be easy, or maybe it turned out to be a little bit harder than you thought it was going to be. But if you're still standing, that means you navigated it. And just like any progressive, whether it's education or whatever it is, you learn to deal with the simple problems, and then you eventually become qualified to deal with the more difficult problems. So if you've taken a business from startup to the point that you need employees, if you're apprehensive about that thing, just look at this as the next step. It may be a little bit more difficult than what you've done so far, but it's just part of the game. Okay, when we talk about having employees, the first step in getting there is hiring employees. Gary, where do you go when you want to hire an employee?
Well, the most popular and the most famous way of for looking for someone to fill a position is in a newspaper ad. It's something that we always see, like in the last few decades, we always see somebody just looking in the morning paper, looking for who's hiring, looking for whether or not they qualify, and looking at the number and all that. That's the that was the more common way of the last few decades, but recently it's moved more towards the internet and doing everything online. There's websites that specialize in just hiring employees, like Job Finder is the one that comes to mind, but there's also the there's on Craigslist, there's also ways you can look for jobs there, and there's other websites that we've never heard of, but yet they do the same thing.
Okay. And there's also employment agencies, and for the higher level jobs, they're otherwise known as headhunters. But ultimately, the concept is that as a business owner, you may not believe that you're qualified to find the candidates that you need, or you may not have time for it. So you can simply enter into a relationship with an employment agency or a staffing agency, I guess is what they're called also, and you describe the position. They interview the candidates, they find the candidates, and they present them to you for a final selection. Okay, of course, that last avenue is a tad expensive compared to the others, because how much does it cost to run an ad in the newspaper, Gary?
These days it's gone up, it's a couple hundred dollars, isn't it?
Right, yeah, about $200, $250, which is a little bit expensive, but a lot of the staffing agencies, when they do it, the whole job of finding an employee sometimes can cost as much as 25% of the annual salary. So these days, if you're paying somebody $10 an hour, that would be about $20,000 a year. So you'd spend $5,000 for the placement fee to find such an employee. Okay, so that's a bit of a plunge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, now the other end of that, of course, is that okay, you thought you needed an employee because you got a new contract. The contract falls through in the first 30 days. You hired the person, they were good, but through no fault of your own and no fault of the staffing agency, you no longer need the job. So you've just spent a placement fee of $5,000, and effectively you changed your mind. You get your $5,000 back?
No.
Probably not. Okay. All right, so that's the big issue in terms of the staffing agency, because there's a lot of money invested in there. Now, they tend to guarantee the results, mostly in the context of if they stay there for 90 days, you just bought yourself a placement fee. And that's fine. You know, that's fair, because there's quite an investment involved on their part of both having the facilities and the know-how and going through the process of finding qualified applicants. Okay. Now, when we talk about the newspaper ads, something that I found in my experience covers the last couple decades, as you referred to, and what has happened is that the newspaper ads have gotten into a very close relationship, I believe, with the placement agencies, and as a result, they are selling ads in the paper that are coupled with a listing in a lot of the employment agencies. Usually that's part of the game, and you end up on their sites. The sites are not necessarily clearly identified as belonging to the placement agencies. But ultimately, to run an ad in the newspaper, when I was just interested in running an ad for one Sunday, which was probably all I needed, and you've seen the response I get to ads. When I used to run one ad in a newspaper, what kind of response would I get?
In about 10 to 20.
Actually, closer to 50.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One ad on one Sunday. So the last time that I tried to fill a position, I went to the newspaper, and they wanted to make me commit to 30 days, with actually 7 days in the newspaper and 30 days on the Internet. Okay. Now, if I'm getting that kind of response in the newspaper, do I need 30 days on the Internet?
No.
Okay. Now, why are they asking me to put my ad on the Internet for so long?
Well, because it'll just be on there for a longer time. It'll make it seem more valuable to you.
And at the same time, for the people who go to their site, it looks like they got jobs coming out of their ears. So if you have a site that has 850 jobs in the area that you're looking for, and another site that has 120 in that area, which site are you going to go to?
The one with the more jobs available.
Right. But what is the truth about the 850 jobs?
There's a lot of them have been there for a while, so a lot of them may have already been filled, or they're just they have too many applicants to look at, so it's just there's a lot more
right.
volume.
It's fictitious volume is what it comes down to. They're advertising a lot of jobs that aren't open anymore. Okay, and then there's the Internet. And actually, as you know, that has actually turned into my more active vehicle. And what I have found is that I can generally get a pretty good response on a lot of the classified ad sites. And there are a number of them. I won't really mention them by name. But the idea is if I know the specific niche, and I have a tendency to fill a lot of entry-level positions, so I try to identify the classified ad sites that are popular in the collegiate world. And that gets me lots of new graduates, and that's what I need. And that has worked very well. I get qualified candidates. Now, I can speak in terms of what works for me. Everybody has to understand where they in their industry go to get their information. I won't get into too many examples of other industries that I don't know about, but the idea is there are regular places that people go in their industry to get information. And ultimately, there is probably some kind of job site that is closely aligned with that. But as I said, anybody who uses the Internet in their business has little trouble knowing where to go. And this generally can be a pretty effective means of finding qualified applicants. All right, now the next element, once you have your resumes or your applicants, is going through the interview process. Now, the interview process can be as difficult as any of the other elements of employment, but at the same time, if you are going to control who is coming into your company, then you're the one that probably has to do it. Now, sometimes you might have somebody else that's close to you or that you're associated with. And, for instance, if I have clients that are hiring accountants, a lot of times they will bring me in that particular process because there's a number of elements that you are trying to qualify. But in particular, you need to know if they have the credentials to do the job. Okay? What else do you need to know when you're filling the job?
You want to know their background, what their education and everything. You want to know if they're going to be able to when they're able to do the job, but will they do the job? And also what puts them above the rest? What do they have that the other ones don't?
Sure. So it's a little bit of a competitive process. They can't see their competition, but you can. And ultimately, it's an exercise of finding the best candidates. Now, if, in this particular situation, we're used to dealing and hiring accountants. But at the same time, let's just say that you wanted to hire a driver, okay? A truck driver for to be more specific. Okay, do you have the capability of qualifying a truck driver?
Not really. I really don't have the specific expertise in that area. I don't know the real things that set everyone apart from everyone, what the different qualities they would have. Or
all right, so that might sound like something that you might want to bring somebody from the outside to help you with that particular process. Okay. Now, obviously, if that's the kind of job that you're filling, okay, then you would probably want to have a first round of interviews where the candidates are broken down into a manageable group of people who can do the job, okay? And you would need an expert to separate, so to speak, the ones who can do it from the ones who can't do it, okay? But then you get into a little bit more personal elements, like what is their attitude? Okay, it's no longer about can they do the job. That's been established. Okay, but now the question is, will they do the job? Oh, I have a phone call here from Jose in Fontana with some hiring questions. Why don't we do that now? This is I haven't done this before. We'll just pick up the phone. Oh, okay. Jose, this is Gary Capolino, taking your business seriously. You're on the air.
Gary, how you doing? I got a question.
Sure.
What is the difference between union wages and prevailing wages?
Okay. Union wages have to do with wages that are set by a union contract. Okay. And usually in that situation, you have employees who are members of a union. And if you hire those employees, you must pay them the union wage, okay? Prevailing wages are the wages that are a lot of times set by a government entity that just recognizes for specific jobs, this is what people should be earning, okay? I'm sure they reference what the unions are paying also, but it has its own schedule of what they believe the fair wages. And also there's an element of being able to earn enough to earn a living. But ultimately, the prevailing wages are a level that is set just based on the difficulty of the job, the market wages around them, and just the history of what's available in this for that job to a specific area.
Okay, because it's a big difference, like in the construction area. The prevailing wage, let's say one a month, you know, let's say $6 an hour for a person, and prevailing wage will be like $48 an hour. That's a big difference.
Right. Did you say 6 or 60 on that first one?
36.
36, I'm sorry. Okay. And what is 36? Is that the union wage or what
that's
is that?
That's the union wage.
That's
correct.
The union wage. Okay. So what the prevailing wage is saying is that this particular entity, whoever it is, it's usually a government organization or entity that is setting the prevailing wages. So what they've said is that for this particular job, we believe you should be paying your employees, and usually it's broken down to different levels. That's what they say in this job, you must pay your employees. And then they have what they call a certified payroll, which ultimately is your proof to the state that shows, or not the state, but the government entity that you're doing the work for, that proves that you paid your employees what the prevailing wage was at a minimum. You can pay them more, but you cannot pay them less.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said thank you. Thank you. That was a good explanation.
Okay, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get back now to the issue of interviewing candidates. So we're talking about the issue of will they do the job. And that, again, is a question of the attitude. Okay, sometimes you have an applicant that will tell you, certain requirements that they have for the job before you've even told them that you have the job. And obviously that's a problematic situation. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about having employees and hiring employees. And when we return, we'll be talking about paying your employees. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050 or you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the U.S. Open twice, 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about having employees, hiring employees, and we're about to talk about paying your employees. But before we get to that particular point, I just want to finish the interviewing candidates area rather quickly, because there are some things that probably are good enough for a full show in themselves, but I feel the need to mention them here anyway. One of the big things in interviewing candidates is qualifying their personality. Are they someone that you can work with? And that's a chemistry issue to a certain degree, but ultimately that comes out in the interview. Communication issues. Can you understand each other? Do you feel like they understand you? And can you understand them? Okay. And then the important area that we cannot leave out is avoid the discriminating questions. The questions that start leaning on somebody's age, be it too young or too old. Their marital status, where you somehow express a preference about whether they're married or not married. The issue of race, just because somebody happens to belong to what we call a minority these days, usually that is not something that you necessarily would ask a question about, and it's probably best not to ask questions about it because that is not supposed to be a qualifying element in the job. Same thing with gender. Same thing with sexual preference. And there are probably others that you haven't thought of, but ultimately the key to interviewing candidates is stick to the point. Understand what's important and why you're there to interview those people and stay with that. And usually what is important is the job, the company, the work, the schedule. Can they do the job? Will they do the job? And can you work with them? All right, now let's move on to paying employees. Now, one of the problems with paying employees is it brings up that age-old problem that we call payroll. The problem with payroll is it can be very confusing to a lot of people. And a lot of places, especially the smaller businesses, revert to what we call paying people off the books. Gary, why don't you tell us what paying people off the books is?
It's where you you meet with someone and you agree on what they need to do for you and what and you agree on giving them a certain amount of money that you don't put down on your books. You don't put it in your ledger. It's just a sum of money that you give them to do the particular thing for your company, but it's illegal and it's just not a good idea for the
okay.
most part.
Okay. All right. Well, you've hit the main elements of it, okay? But the fact is that a lot of times it is on the books, but it's not qualified as they are not qualified as employees. We pay them as what we call independent contractors. Okay? Now, an independent contractor is analogous to you and me, an entrepreneur. Okay? They have their own business. But a guy who comes sorts your mail and delivers your mail for 40 hours a week, is he an independent contractor?
No.
Okay. But you pay him like he's an independent contractor, and chances are you have him do a lot of other different things too because you're a small business. But the fact is that he really is an employee. Now, by not paying him as an employee, by paying him as an independent contractor, that saves you the trouble of filing payroll. Okay? It also saves you the expense of paying payroll taxes. Now, what are the main payroll taxes that we pay?
Medicare and Social Security, things like that.
Social Security, unemployment tax, okay, disability insurance. These are what we call mandatory taxes that employers must pay or that they need to be withheld from the employee. Also, income tax is supposed to be withheld from the employee. Now, of course, to the employee at the first level, getting a job is a good thing, however defined. But if you aren't withholding their income tax, what does that mean for them?
It means that they
get more money.
Yeah. They
okay. And they like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. And how does Social Security work? The employee pays half and the employer pays half. So once again, if you're not reporting it as payroll, who gets half of the payroll, the Social Security?
The
employee does. Okay? And who gets the other half?
The employee.
The employer.
Oh, the employer.
Okay? All right. So it seems like a win-win situation. Okay? Except when you, after 45 years of working off the books for this employer, okay, when you go to collect retirement income, how much is in your Social Security account?
A lot less than there should be.
That's right. If I'm the only employer that you had in your lifetime, you have nothing. Okay? Now, how do you feel about that?
As the employer?
Employee.
Employee. I'm pissed. I'm upset.
Yeah, probably. Okay, and the reason is because while it was a great deal for you, it never occurred to you that you were giving away your retirement. Okay, anyway, this is just one of the issues here. But the fact is that a lot of people fall into this. And what happens is as their business gets larger they have a new problem. Now that they're a larger business, they need to bring things into compliance. But between the time they started paying people off the books and the time that they realized they needed to come into compliance, okay, you accumulate something that we call former employees, people who are no longer with your company, who may suddenly come to grips with the realities that we just discussed, that they never had Social Security, and or maybe they got audited and found all this extra income that they had, and they never paid their payroll taxes, okay? And after they get fried, who do they point the finger to?
They point at the employer.
That's right. So either the Department of Labor takes a sudden interest in the employer to find out why he's not paying his employees properly, and at the same time, depending on his record keeping, he may say, well, since your books show that you didn't pay the employee, and since you and the employee both agree that he worked here, they could make you pay him again. And that could be a rather severe issue. This actually happened to my brother several years ago. And it was a situation where he was paid on the books 40 hours a week, but they used to have him come in on Saturdays for overtime. Now, what's the problem with overtime traditionally?
You get paid time and a half, so you get paid your salary plus half of what the salary is.
Okay, so is that a problem for the employee?
No.
Okay, it's a little bit of a problem for the employer. It's more expensive. Okay, but what they did is they made a deal with him. We'll pay you off the books at straight time, and therefore you don't have to pay income tax. You know, it's all off the books. You don't declare it, we don't declare it. But then he got fired unjustly. So what did he do? He went to the Department of Labor, and that's exactly what happened. They went into the employer, they asked to see their payroll records, and they said to him, well, it's funny, because your employee here says that he worked weekends. But it doesn't show here that you worked weekends. In fact, from what we can see, it looks like you didn't pay him. But you say he worked weekends. And they said, yeah, he did. He said, but we paid him off the books. And that was all they had to say. So what you're saying is you did not record in your books that you paid him. And obviously they should have had either a lawyer or somebody with them to stop him from talking. But the reality is that what they did is they made them pay him again on the books so that they could show that they paid him on their books and that they could pay the appropriate payroll taxes. A pretty tough lesson to learn. But that's what happens when you get out of compliance. You are exposed to these things. All right, what I want to present here to the public here is something that the part-time CFO offers to deal with this difficult problem. Because the fact is, for a lot of small businesses, the problem of paying employees has nothing more to do with fear of the complexity of the process. And the problem is that if you get a payroll company to do it for you, in many cases, they charge a ridiculously expensive fee to do it. Now, the advantage if you're working through a payroll company, assuming you work with one of the big ones, is that if they do it wrong, they assume the responsibility for any of the taxes and penalties that'll come with it. But the problem is, with a small company with just a few employees, what's your exposure, Gary?
Not much.
Yeah.
You don't have much volume.
Yeah, so you're paying a lot for protection against something that probably doesn't amount to much. It's probably like that insurance that pays your minimum payment on your credit card if you lose your job. What's the minimum payment usually on a credit card?
I don't know.
$25, $30? Yeah, that's not much coverage. And how much do you pay a month for that coverage?
Probably about as much as you.
About $2 or $3, I believe. I haven't really looked at it for a while. But it's you're paying for insurance for something. And if you quit your job, are you covered?
No.
No. You have to get fired. So that makes it even more fun, especially if you believe that you quit for valid reasons. All right. Well, anyway, what the part-time CFO offers for small companies, if you have five or less employees, we do your payroll for $150 per quarter, okay? And the way it works is we do the pay stubs and effectively tell the employer how much to write the check to the employee, and they use the pay stub that we require, or that we provide, I mean, which is required by law, that you give them a breakdown of their deductions. So we give you the pay stub that you enclose with their check, with their paycheck. The paycheck is for the net amount. We've identified all the withholdings, and at the end of the quarter, we file the payroll tax, the payroll taxes, the payroll tax forms, and we tell you specifically how much money to deposit, and if you like, we can assist in that process too. Additionally, at the end of the year, we do the W-2s. So all this, if you have five or less employees, for $600 for the entire year. That's $150 per quarter for five or fewer employees. If you have more than five employees, I'm sure we can find a way to do it. But the fact is, if you don't have a payroll and you have five or fewer employees, you should do a payroll. Also, if you are running a sole proprietorship and you do not pay yourself, you are losing the opportunity of deducting the employer share of your payroll taxes. I know it seems silly, the concept of paying yourself, but if you have a business and you do not pay yourself, all the earnings of the business are assumed to be income to you. Okay? If you pay yourself with a paycheck, the employer share of the taxes then become deductible. If you do not pay yourself, the earnings of the company are assumed earnings to you, and you are then assessed self-employment tax, which reduces your income for income tax purposes, but does not make the employer share of the Social Security or the half of the self-employment tax, it does not make it deductible in computing your W-2 income. Anyway, if you have any questions about that particular service, you can either contact me through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com website, or you can email me through Gary@GaryThePartTimeCFO.com. Okay. In addition to doing your payroll, okay, we provide advice as you grow your business. And generally, this is free of charge. We identify potential problems for you. And the other thing is that with the small payroll, it's all very simple. You get a chance to see how it works for you. If there are problems, they're small problems, and we can take care of it. But as your business grows, sometimes we have to confront issues such as how frequently you should be making payroll deposits. But once again, you don't figure this out for yourself. We figure it out for you. And for a lot of clients, this has worked out very good, and it keeps them in compliance. In fact, that's why I got started with this in the first place. I found that my clients would not comply with payroll unless I did it for them and made it very easy and perhaps very cheap. But the fact is, this is a good service. It's a valuable service. And if anybody in the listener community is interested in that, I encourage you to contact me through the webpage. Okay, this has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about having employees, hiring employees, and paying employees. And through the show today, we've covered the issues of interviewing, hiring people, paying off the books, and watching out for those former disgruntled employees. Okay. Tune in to us next week, for once again, we'll do our best to take your business to the next level. Thanks for listening.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio. This is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news. Now here's what's going on at 5 o'clock. The Inland Empire's economy has slipped below the slow growth baseline for the first time in 2 years. The Purchasing Managers' September Index, just out, reflects a decrease in new orders as well as employment. All but 3% of the purchasing managers surveyed by Cal State San Bernardino expect the local economy to remain about the same the last quarter of the year or even weaken. About the prospects of a double-dip recession, Terry Herman at Rancho Cucamonga Base Neudrolics Incorporated commented,
"The Inland Empire never got out of the first one. Foreclosure notices increase. The only downturn in foreclosure activity, I'm given to believe, was a function of some of the major lenders. Inland certainly is not. I don't believe they ever got out of it."
On a brighter note, though, a new economic impact report finds UC Riverside generates about $1.4 billion annually in economic activity. This is a result of the direct spending by UCR and that of students, visitors, and retirees. Elsewhere in brief, two Kern County men are California's first two fatal victims this year of West Nile virus. That virus is transmitted to humans through mosquito bites. Autumn lost some of its momentum at the theaters this week as holdovers ruled, led by A Big Mammal Story.
No dolphin has ever been known to lose its entire tail and survive.
We can't make her one of it. She's going to have to do that part on her own.
Dad, she's going to the beach, remember?
Dolphin Tale is the surprise family hit about a dolphin with a prosthetic fin. The true story has done $37 million in ticket sales in just 10 days. That's more than many analysts expected the film to do in its entire run. Brad Pitt's baseball comedy Moneyball was second. The Lion King in 3D.